As we think about the song that we just sang, the light of the world is Jesus, that's the reason that we're here this morning, is to worship our Lord and Savior. And He is our light. He guides us. He illuminates our path. And I'm glad that we are here this morning. And one thing I failed to say earlier in the announcements, but it just really made me happy in my heart, is we walked through the front door this morning to look up and see the cross that we have. It just makes, I don't know, it just filled me with happiness and gladness. How richly the Lord has blessed us. And I'm thankful to be here this day. And it's humbling when you see a cross, at least it is to me, to think about what our Lord and Savior did for us. I pray that He will guide us through this message this morning. We're looking today at the six I Am statement that Jesus made about Himself. In the Gospel of John, it will be our focus this morning, in John chapter 14. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there, and we're going to be studying chapter 14 mostly today, as well as a couple of other places. But in John chapter 14, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." Now, we're all here today. We are believers. And folks, it is required of us to share fundamental truths of the Bible with other people. You know, that's what really kind of started this series of the I Am statements, was the commandment that Jesus gave us to go and teach. And we have to understand to be able to teach others what the things that Jesus said about Himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. And it's, you could call this a doctrine. It is so fundamentally core and basic and true. And we have to understand it today. And we have to share this with other people. It is required of us. And I've been saying that based on the authority that Jesus gave and told His disciples in Matthew. But I want to bring in the other Gospels that substantiate this too. You see, we have a responsibility for the faith that we have been given. In the Gospel of Luke, right before the ascension, Jesus said the following, "And repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." Well, that's true for all of us. We are witnesses of these things, the faith that He has placed in our hearts. We can share that with somebody else because it's tangible and we feel it. We are witnesses to what's written in the Bible. You have heard it all your life. You have studied it. You know it. You are a witness to these things. And we are told to be witnesses. And then in Matthew, as we have been using this, Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto Me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you." You see, it's a commandment to teach as well, to be a witness and to teach. Of course, this was falling on the apostles as Jesus was talking to them, but it applies to all of God's children. We need to witness, and we need to share what we know and teach others who aren't as far along in their spiritual growth as you may be. And then in Mark, the Gospel of Mark chapter 16, you see we're finding this admonition and these basically commandments in all three Gospels. And here there's a distinction. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, that doesn't exclude me and you. It wasn't just for the core 11 apostles. No, it falls to all of us, to all who have been given the gift of faith. Preach to every creature. But now we see a distinction, and this is very important. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned." And this, of course, was the setting of the stage for the apostles to preach to the Gentiles as well as to the Jewish nation. You see, there was no differentiating between them from nationality or from where they were born. No, the distinction comes from he who believes and he who does not. And that's a core tenet of the Bible. And we find that again, and see, this is being, Jesus said this, and it's recorded in Mark's gospel. But we can find these same thoughts and sentiments in the opening of John, in John 3:16, the most widely quoted scripture in the Bible. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. You see, you think about what do we share? This gives everything. It shows God's love. He sent his Son into the world. And his mercy, he sent his Son because he was merciful to us and did not want us to perish. And we see his grace, we see here that he did not condemn the world. He sent God, his Son, to be our Savior. We see love, we see mercy, we see grace. And again, we see the distinction. You see, you have God's children and those who are not God's children, but we don't know who all those are. And so we are told to teach, to witness, and to preach to everyone. We're not responsible for how somebody responds. That's not in our ability, but you look at the power and the authority that God is giving you through that gift of faith to go witness, to go teach, to be an ambassador for Christ here on this earth to others. How the people respond, or when a person responds, that's up to the Lord. But it is a truth that must be taught. And when we go and witness, you see, we encounter so many things in this world, so much diversity. But there is one fundamental truth, and all of these scriptures point back to Jesus. It's found in Jesus Christ because he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that ties back into those who believe and those who will not. We are unable to deliver ourselves from a sinful condition that only comes through Jesus Christ. And that needs to be taught and it needs to be spoken to others. Now, I have here in our next scripture an example of a layperson. God opened his heart. You see, here we find the Apostle Peter. And yes, Jesus revealed the scriptures to all the apostles. But he empowered Peter. If you read in verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, well, he's standing up before the Sanhedrin Council, the same people that crucified Jesus. And he boldly says, he makes this declaration, nor is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved, only the name of Jesus Christ. And that is the only way. And folks, we need to bear witness of that. We need to bear witness, we need to teach, and we need to preach. That is the only way. And notice that the Holy Spirit guided Peter to say this. And it validates what Jesus said, I am. You see, all of these I am statements, they bring Jesus together, the three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He and the Father are one. And that's why he can make these statements, these I am statements, because I am the Father are one. Those were Jesus' exact words. And we find that. And I want to share the scriptures that support that statement that Jesus made. At the very beginning of John's gospel, John writes, this is about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's Jesus Christ, the Word, the living embodiment of God the Father, who came to this world and who gave us God's Word. And it was the light that shined in the darkness. He was there in the beginning. Now, as we think about these I am statements, and we start narrowing down again to today's focus about Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And we think about what Mark's gospel said about those who believe and those who don't. And we just read it here in John's gospel too, the beginning of John's gospel in chapter 3, about those who believe and those who do not. It is only through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus had an encounter with the Pharisees in chapter 8 of John's gospel. And we went over this a couple weeks ago. But it ties into what we're saying. You see, Jesus was there in the beginning. And sometimes we think about our faith and the things we stumble over. Well, let's get this encounter that Jesus had with the Pharisees. And he tells them, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. How did Abraham see Jesus' day? His soul, his spirit's in heaven. And then the Jew said to him, you are not 50 years old and you have seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, and he's speaking to the Pharisees here, but folks, it's speaking to us today. It's speaking to every one of God's children and every believer here on this earth. I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. He and the Father are one. He was there in the beginning. You see, he knows whose name was written in the book of life. He knew Abraham before he was born. And he knew Abraham in heaven. Before he came to this, Abraham rejoiced to see his day. Why? Because Abraham knew that all those burnt offerings and sacrifices were merely IOUs. There was only one sacrifice that could fill the requirement for our sins, and that's Jesus Christ. So yes, he rejoiced to see that day. Because his sins were covered by the blood of the Lamb too, as are all of God's children. Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus knew Abraham. And folks, I want to remind you, he knows us too. He knows his children. And a couple Sundays ago, we were talking about the Good Shepherd. I want to read that one passage again because I find it so comforting. But it applies to what Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John chapter 10, if you have your Bibles, flip over to John chapter 10. And here we find another encounter where the Pharisees want to stone Jesus. You think about all that Jesus endured to his people to save us from our sins and the obstacles that he faced. Everything that the Pharisees tried to do to him. But he was faithful. And he's faithful to us now. In John's gospel, we find in chapter 10, verses 24 through 30. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, how long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered and said to them, I told you, and you do not believe. You see, there's a distinction again. You do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. As I said to you, my sheep hear my voice. Now I hope you're thinking again and being grateful for your gift of faith. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's why Jesus can say that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me, because he and the Father are one. That's who we worship. And that's who our Lord and Savior is, Jesus Christ. And that's who we need to humble ourselves before. And like little children, come before him and asking, forgive us, asking to lead us, asking to be merciful. Because, folks, we need it each and every day of our life. He is the only way. He is the only way. And so as we think about others that we may share this with. Think about for just a moment what I believe what we find in these scriptures that we've just read. Through Jesus we have hope, not in ourselves, but in His grace. We have the promise of eternal life. And as we walk through this life, we must trust in the gift of faith that we have been given. He didn't give it to us to be of no effect, but to guide us in our life and to have a good effect on others. So, because God has given us this gift of faith, regardless of our circumstances, folks, we must always remember God cares for us. He knew us before the beginning and the foundation of the world. Nothing in this life can separate us from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. We are in His hands. And we need to share these comforting thoughts and words and scriptures that support this with others. We have been commanded to be a witness, to teach, and to preach. So as you think about these I Am statements, if you encounter somebody and you have a conversation, and they ask you, well, how do you have such faith? You need to be able to tell them about Jesus Christ and the things He said about Himself. Now, I want to go back and really target now this statement found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6. I am, again, I am. Jesus and the Father are one. And Jesus is a living embodiment of God the Father here on the earth when He came. He is the Word. He is giving testimony to God the Father. And He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me. Now, if you're in your Bible, turn with me back to the Gospel of John. I just want to clarify some things. The Gospel of John, of what's happened. You see, there's been a little bit of time in between some of these I Am statements. Now, in this I Am statement that Jesus is making, it's the Last Supper. And He's speaking to the apostles. Judas has already gotten up and left the room to go and betray Jesus. And Jesus has just said, now the Son of Man is about to be glorified, meaning the crucifixion is here. And so He's explaining to the disciples what comes next. They're in the upper room. And so, right prior to our I Am statement in verse 6, if you have your Bibles, Jesus is talking about the new commandments to love one another. And He's explaining to the apostles that He is about to leave, and where I'm going, you can't go with me right now. And so starting in chapter 13, verse 36 through verses 38, then Simon Peter said to Him, Lord, where are You going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, You cannot follow Me now, but You shall follow Me afterward. Peter said to Him, Lord, why can I not follow You now? I will lay down My life for Your sake. Jesus answered him, will You lay down Your life for My sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied Me three times. I want to stop and make some observations here for just a moment. Jesus begins to tell the future for many times He has. He's telling it again before it happens. He's telling Peter what He's about to do several hours before it comes to pass. And it should give us a little bit of comfort because Jesus knows all things. And when we recognize that He knows all things, we have to also recognize that He knows what's best for our lives. And we need to take comfort in faith that He has given us, to trust and believe in His mercy and in His grace. And also, folks, this is one of the things that hinders us from sharing our faith with others. We need to trust Him to forgive our weaknesses and our inabilities like He forgave Peter's. Peter would fail miserably. but the Lord would later forgive him. Always remember, God's grace is ever present with us in this life. And He goes before us. You see, we have no reason not to be sharing our faith with other people. Even when we try something and we fail, it doesn't mean that God's not with us. Maybe God's showing us a different way. Or there's a reason for the failures that sometimes we experience in our life. We grow, we become stronger. You think of the story of Joseph. There are so many places where we could go for that. But God's grace is always with us. And we remember, how do we have that grace? How do we have faith? It's a gift. God has given it to us for a reason. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. You see, we know these things. We can be a witness. We can tell others about the faith that we have in us, that Jesus is the only way. There is no other way. And something else I want to point out. I want to read it again. You see, if we look hard, we see God's grace in verse 36. In verse 36 here, Jesus told Peter, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards." You see, folks, this is God's amazing grace. It's true for all believers. We all will follow Jesus in faith through this life like Peter would, and in death like Peter would. We will all follow Jesus from this life to the next. As we walk through this life, you see, He told Peter, "You can't follow me now, but you will follow me afterward." We will follow Christ afterwards to the life that He has promised us in Him. So we need to walk according to His commandments and be obedient to what He has told us. We need to share others what He said in this I Am statement. And let's continue reading, because this brings us up to John's Gospel, chapter 14. I want to read verses 1 through 7. And this is where we find his I Am statement. He's in the upper room, and he's just told Peter what we read. "You cannot follow me now, but you will follow me afterwards. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." If we just stop right there for a moment. That's what he meant when he told Peter, you will follow afterwards. You see, he goes and prepares a place for us. He came to this earth to lay down his life, to give repentance to his children, to redeem us, and to cloak us in the righteousness of himself so that we are acceptable to God. And so that where he is, we may be also. We have been born into a family, the family of God. And the only way that we become members in that family, and the only way that we will ever be in heaven, is through Jesus Christ. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And we have that gift of faith to give us the assurity. He goes to prepare a place for us. "And where I go and the way you know," he tells them. But you know, sometimes we let circumstances cloud our vision. And here the disciples are struggling. They don't quite understand what exactly Jesus is talking about. They love him and they don't want to let go of him. You see, sometimes we're the same way in our own physical lives. We don't want to let go of something sometimes. And Thomas says to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way?" You see, this is where Thomas wasn't stopping for just a moment to think about all he had been taught. It's where sometimes our emotions blind us and lead us astray. He had been taught, but sometimes we don't see clearly when we are in the middle of something. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And here Jesus reveals himself. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. In other words, Thomas, you know God because you have seen him in me. I and my Father are one. And I believe Thomas finally understood. And folks, it is the same for us. How can we know God? We can not just have the abstract concept of a God. We can know God by knowing Jesus. And if we start to summarize all the things that Jesus has told us through these I Am statements and what he publicly said in the temple to Jerusalem as he was talking with the Pharisees and through other public statements that he said and now what he is saying in private to the apostles. As we summarize all these things, what can we say about ourselves? We are in the Father's hand. Does that give you comfort and courage? We are in God's hand. And nothing can remove us out of His hand, Jesus said specifically. Nothing. Jesus has prepared a room for us. A room for us in heaven so that where He is, we may be also. These are things that we have just gone over and we have been going over now for several sermons. He knows us, just like He knew Abraham before the foundation of the world. And folks, He loves us. He knows us. He loves us. We are in the Father's hand, and He has prepared a place for us to go. We are His sheep, and He is our good shepherd who laid down His life. And now you need to personalize this for just a moment. He laid down His life, and you can say for me. I'll say for all of us, but you can say He did it for me. He came and He laid down His life for you, for me. And you know these things. And you are supposed to witness to these things. And the very life that you live, by living differently from the world, by living by God's commandments, and the things that Jesus taught us, should differentiate us enough for the rest of the world to see, no, this person doesn't walk like those people do. There's something different. You see, you are a child of God, and your life should be a witness. You have a story. And whether you recognize or not, your story is a story of grace, love, and mercy that God has extended to you. And we need to share it with others. Now, I want to do something a little bit different to help us in this effort to share it with other people. Because like Thomas, sometimes we get blinded by our emotions. And like Peter did, we all do. And sometimes our emotions can lead us astray. Even though we're wanting to worship God, sometimes emotions toil with us and they deceive us. I'm going to share some lyrics, a few of the lyrics from a new song that Matthew West has written. And the song's called Good. And it's about grace. And of course, I can't sing it. But I'm going to try to say it maybe in a little bit of the cadence of how I hear the song in my head. And again, Matthew West wrote these lyrics. I used to think grace was a ladder. Every sinner had to climb. If only I could just do better, I could earn it over time. Tried to work my way to good. Trouble is, I never could. But then you showed me just exactly how grace works. I'm good at always falling down. You're good at never giving up. I'm good at getting turned around. You're good at saying, I'm still loved. I was wrecked by mercy the day I understood. I'm not loved because I'm worthy. I'm loved because you're good. I think Paul wrote the book of Romans for people just like me, for all the beat up and the broken who need to know that grace is free. Why do I do the things I shouldn't and don't do the things I should? That's just a proof you're the only part of me that's good. I'm good at always falling down. You're good at never giving up. I'm good at getting turned around. You're good at saying, I'm still loved. And I was wrecked by mercy the day I understood. I'm not loved because I'm worthy. I'm loved because you're good. And isn't that true for every believer? We don't deserve God's grace, but He has given it to us. We have faith in our hearts, and that's the evidence of God's grace in your life. And you were given that faith for a reason. As it says in verse 10, we are His workmanship, created to do good works. And one of those good works is to give testimony of our faith and of the grace in our life that God has given and extended to us. I want to expound for just a moment on these sentiments that Matthew West had as he wrote this, because he said the book of Romans, we think about God's grace. The grace is given to us through Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through me, because we only have faith through the grace that we have through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He is the only way. But when we read about grace, we don't deserve it. It's not because we're worthy, as Matthew West said. It's because God is merciful and good. And if we take just a select few verses from the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, God demonstrated His love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's grace, He died for us. We didn't deserve it. We were sinners. But He died for us. And in Romans chapter 8, therefore, those He died for, it applies to His children. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You need to be humble and thankful like a little child for what God has done for us and for you. Make it personal. What God did for you, you can say, God did this for me. He died for me. No, I didn't deserve it, like Chris Tomlin said. He died for me when I was still a sinner. And then Romans chapter 10, again, evidence of your faith. If you can say this, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see God's mercy and grace. We don't earn and deserve His grace, but He gives it. But you have to testify to it. You need to witness to it. You need to share it and teach it and preach it. We've read that now in all three Gospels. That's what Jesus commanded us when He spoke through the apostles. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then in Romans chapter 3, again, we say we're not worthy. No, we're not. Romans chapter 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. How is it we are justified? Because of Jesus' precious blood that He shed on that cross. It cleanses us from our sins. And He gave that. He gave His life and shed His blood because He loved us. Now I want to go back to you for just a moment. We are witnesses of these things. We are going to teach all nations everything I have commanded you. That's Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of Luke, and Gospel of Matthew, and the Gospel of Mark. Go into every nation and preach to every creature. You see, we have this responsibility to share our witness with others. But the question is posed here by Paul. How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? If you stop right there for just a moment, people need to hear God's word. How will they hear without a preacher? And that's not just who's the person standing in the pulpit. It's you who God gave the gift of faith to, who has forgiven your sins through His amazing grace. How will people hear if there is no preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? You are sent because God placed it in your heart. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And these good things, we find, this can be your testimony. These good things we find in the book of 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. We can all say this. And this is a testimony that God has given us eternal life and that this life is in His Son. We all can share that with others. It is the fundamental truth. God's children, we have eternal life. That is His promise. And it only comes through the way, the truth, and life that is Jesus Christ. It only comes through the Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We need to know it. We need to understand it. When our faith is weak, we need to cling to Jesus Christ. And folks, through love and compassion for other people, we need to share this core fundamental truth of the I Am statements with others. It is a good work that you were created to do. May the Lord add His blessings, is my prayer.